Praise the Lord. A message number 296. The title of this message, God's Calling Requirements, Part 24. And our message today is from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1 to 10. Living Word for God's Church. Let's read. Book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1 to 10. We will read in King James, and we will read also in NIV translation. Brethren, if a man overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore him such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Be ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we fail not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And let's now read in NIV. Say, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are led by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that he is something when he is not, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own action. Then he can take a pride in himself alone, without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the world should share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please his flesh, from the flesh he will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, but at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let's pray. God, we thank you, God, and we praise you for your word that you always send to us on time to admonish us, to correct us, to encourage us to go on in serving you, to reach new people, to help those who are part of the church, part of the body of Christ, to help them in trials and difficulties. And I pray also, God, that this message will transform us, that transform each and everyone, that we'll be more accountable to the calling, that we have a place in our life and hearts, and to the church that you have placed us in, and to the feast that you had places in this world, to preach your word and to make disciples, and to do the needful things for the people who are in contact and in relationship with us. I pray in the name of Jesus that your message will bring healing, will bring salvation, will bring wholeness, will bring a transformation in the life of your church and your people. Lord, whatever the purpose of sending this word of yours, let your purpose prevail, and let you, Lord, receive the honor and the glory that belong to you. This is all we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, he was dealing with some critical doctrinal issue, but here we can find that the teaching that he gave in Galatians 6, verse 1 to 10, that teaching is very profitable not only to the Galatian church, but to us today as a church, how we function, how we operate as the body of Christ, how to get aware of the dangers and the pitfall that may cause some of us to fall into trouble or to fall into sin. And also it shows how we as a body of Christ should be able to approach people and to help them in their troubles and in their fall that they fall in, and how to restore them. And also, you know, very beautiful in this passage, we can see the way that we can be blessed. Not only we receive blessing, but we can see clearly that we are called to be a blessing to the church and to those who are outside the church. In verse 1, Paul was dealing with internal issues of the church, and here in verse 1 he say, "Brethren, if a man overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore him, such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." What he mentioned here is that if a man overtaken in a fault or faults are mistakes that done by the person else without awareness. You know, that's what he says. If a man be overtaken in a fault, he is not aware that he took a wrong decision, he is not aware that he caused a trouble, he is not aware that he had fallen to sin, he is not aware of that, he is not aware of what he did. Then, we as the body of Christ, there must be a people with us who are, that we must be a spiritual people, that we will recognize the fault, we will recognize the person who is in the trouble because of that fault, because of that decision, because of that wrong step that he did it out of lack of knowledge or awareness of the danger. We need to move forward and gently explain to him in order to be restored. You know, and I would say if a man caught into sin, if someone is caught in a sin, King James, you say if a man be overtaken in a fault, you know, caught in a sin that he is intentionally doing it, and he is sinning, he knows that what he is doing is wrong, that person does not fit for him this, that to restore him gently. The point is not about not to restore, we need to restore even sinners. We do our best to explain to them the sin, responded to them and show them the danger. But here what he mentioned, Paul, those who fall by fault, they are not aware. They have received, the Galatian church have received false teachers and false teaching, and they started doing it, they are not aware. And that's what he said in his letter, that we are trying our best to restore you. You know, when somebody falls into fault, we need to be pitiful to him, loving him, caring for him, that we need to restore him. Those who fall into sin and intentionally they know it's a sin and they're still there doing it, they need also to be rebuked in order to be restored. And what else Paul say in this verse, verse 1? He say, "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Watchfulness is needed from each and every one of us so that we will not be tempted. We will not be tempted to fall into the same mistake that the other brother or that sister had fallen in. The true love of God is that we love others as we love our self. We love God, we love others, and we love also our self. And as we do our best to restore those who fall into sin or those who are overtaken by fault, then we need to do our best to watch ourselves and to be careful, to be protected, not to put ourselves unnecessarily in danger or in attack of the enemy. So we need to love others, we need to love God, and we need also love ourselves. We need to be charitable to ourselves. In verse 2, he say, "Bear ye one another burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I would say, carry each other's burdens, and in this you will fulfill the law of Christ. Every one of us has a certain burden, a certain law, certain responsibility that we need to fulfill toward our family, toward our job, toward the church, toward God, toward the neighbor around us, to the society, to the country that we are in. And we need to abide with rules, we need to abide with certain payment and rules and situation, that we need to fulfill all these requirements. The person who, with his own burden, he may be able to fulfill up to 100%. Some people, they are very perfect and they are fully aware. They are not giving chance to fall into mistake or sin or trouble of the devil. So you find them very fruitful and very diligent in achieving the required things from them. But there are some other person that need to be helped and supported. Suppose that they can do 80% or 85% or 75% or 90% or 95%. The remaining percentage, what we have learned here when he said carry each other burden, it means we have to move forward willingly and be available for service to care for those who are overloaded with trouble, those who are overloaded with ministry, those who are loaded with their family problems, those who are loaded with sicknesses in their body, and they are not able to achieve the things that are required of them. And that is how we fulfill our responsibility toward the body of Christ, toward the brothers and sisters around us. And that's how we saw good work, we saw good deed as had been ordained for us to do before we are being created in Christ Jesus, had been prepared for us this work, and we need to fulfill them. Also in the verse 5 say that for each one should carry his own burden or his own load. You know, the point here that we are not called to do the responsibilities of others. We need to help them to carry that load. Maybe 5%, 10%, we can carry 15%. But they are the people who should carry mainly their own load, their own responsibility. Like somebody have work, I will not go and work for him. He need to do his work, but if he need help in certain area, that help will aid him to do his work well. I may contribute 5% to that work or 10%, but he need to shoulder the rest of his responsibility. And that's what we learn, that we need to be accountable to what it is entrusted to us. That is how we carry each other's burden. If I am doing my responsibility well, I'm not going to disturb other people. Instead, if there is somebody who is really in critical situation, then someone who is willing to help, he can help others, not me, because I have done with my responsibility. So here, Paul was speaking about a responsible society. The church is the people of the church are people who are alert, who are aware, who are responsible people, not lazy, not selfish, not putting the responsibility on somebody else, not taking advantage, not cheating, not abusing the grace of God, not abusing the love of the church, not abusing the love of the brethren. Amen? Let's go forward. In verse 3 he says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceive himself." Now here's the point here. Paul was warning against pride and arrogance and self-righteousness. You should not think yourself, "Oh, how I can do this? How they say like that, I need to do that." You check yourself. You go to the Word of God and see yourself. Why you think yourself something when and you are nothing? You know, if anyone said that he is something, I would ask him, "Are you a blessing to others, or you are a burden or a source of trouble to others?" Check yourself. Are you a source of a blessing? Are people blessed by you, or people are troubled by you? Or people get disturbed by your shortcomings and fault, and they need over and over correct you, over and over save you, over and over pull you out from the pit. Humble down. Here, humility needed. So we can find out what are the faults. These are sin, but they are fault. Sin, laziness. People are not aware. It is sin. And they cause others to troubles, to be in trouble. Selfishness is another sin. And others get disturbed by your selfishness. Pride, self-righteousness. You think that you are above that things. No, you need to take part in doing your work and service toward God, toward your family, toward your work, to the church, and to society that are around you. God call you not to live in your sinful nature, but really God call you to be a blessing to other people. And verse 4 you say, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another." Check yourself. Are you doing your work well? Are you doing your responsibility well? If you are doing well, you enjoy. You rejoice in yourself. And not in another. Don't look to others. Don't think that others' work and ministry and responsibility are covering up for your lack of commitment. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take a pride in himself alone without comparing himself to another, to somebody else. You know, some people, I say, "Why are you not doing this?" Oh, they say, "Everyone is not doing. Everyone is not obeying. Everyone is telling lies. Everyone is escaping the responsibility. Everyone living in this way." Yes. Everyone. But what you say here, don't compare yourself with other people. Other people tell lies. Don't tell. Other people, they know how to be smart and escape their own responsibilities and put it on somebody else. Don't do that. That is abuse. That is sin. That's taking advantage. Check again and again. Check again and again yourself. And see if you are doing well and your responsibility and assignment in a proper way. Mind again. Mind your own business and don't compare yourself with others. Compare yourself with the Word of God. Some people, they say, "Oh, at least I'm better than others." No. You compare yourself with the Word of God. If the Word of God tells you that you are good, then you have delight in yourself. If the Word of God tells you that you are not good, don't say, "How about others?" No. That is not the way to compare yourself. Compare yourself with the Word of God. Our standard is the Bible, from cover to cover. And that is here, from verse 1 to verse 5. Paul was speaking of how to deal with faults and sin, and self-righteousness and pride and arrogance and selfishness, and that all this sin, this all complex of shortcomings will cripple the church from doing the service to their own member, to our own member, and to the lost who are around us. And Christ really Christ wants us to reach those people, wants us to evangelize to them, wants us to bring the love of Christ to them. But healing, revival should start from inside the church. Judgment starts in the house of God, and this here word of the Lord that we have read from Galatians 6 and we are expounding it, it is tackling issues, leading us to repentance. I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to those right now who hear this message. They will be convicted, they will be repenting. They will rise up from their sin and from laziness and despondency. I rebuke it all in the name of Jesus. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teach in all good things. And then I will say, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Now, somebody taught you, the church cared for you, you need to go to share the good things that you receive from God. Your tithe, your offering, your time, your life, your strength should be there in the church. But King James, you say in a very beautiful word, he say, communicate unto him that teach in all good things. You know, as you receive teaching that brought a blessing into your life, then in the same way, you need to share the blessing that you have with those who taught you. Here in King James, he said to communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. And the meaning of that is to make it clear to everyone that the person who taught you, his labor was not in vain. His labor will not be in vain. Your good testimony, being changed and transformed, being committed your life to God, to His church, and to your teachers, being a responsible and a fruitful person, and being a blessing to others, all will communicate great things to those who labor in serving you. We are not waiting for you to give tithe, although that's important. We are not only waiting for you to bring your first fruit, that's important. We are not waiting for you to come to church on time, which is very important. But we are waiting for you to radically change and transform, change your life styles. That's how you communicate. You see to that person, we don't see how he's doing well, his ministry, his finances, his family, the way he speaks, the way he contributes to the church. You will be a living example that the teacher can use you as an illustration to the new believers and as illustration to those who rebel against God. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please his sinful nature, from the sinful nature will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Here again the principle about sowing and reaping. Here is the way for you to be blessed. How many of you? You want to be blessed? Everyone, sure. Even if you hear the message today now, you want God to bless you. And hear the way Apostle Paul outlined to us the way to be blessed. You need to continue to sow the seed and to be a blessing to other people who are around you. The more you are sowing and being a blessing to others, then the more you are receiving and enjoying the blessing of God and reaping eternal life. But if you will live in sin and for your flesh and for your selfish ambition and for your lustful desire and for your worldliness, then the more you are creating troubles to yourself and reaping corruption and destruction for you, your family, and for the coming days of your life. Here, the principle of sowing and reaping. If we sow good things, we will reap good things. If we sow bad things, we will reap bad things. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap a harvest. We shall reap if we will not faint. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up, if we do not faint. We should not be tired. We should not be lazy. We should not be selfish. And we should not be having selfish ambition that will prohibit us from doing good, from sowing. Because we know, in due season, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. If we do not give up, if we do not become weary, if we are not faint, oh, I am tired of keeping helping the people and people betray me. You are not doing it for the people, you are doing it for God. I am tired of teaching and teaching and people go away. You are not doing it for the people, you are doing it for God. Don't give up. Don't be faint. Don't be discouraged. Don't be daunted. The Lord will reward you if you will not give up. In verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now it is obvious that as we are called to not to give up, then we are called to continue to do good to everyone. To everyone, starting from those outside the church. That's how we evangelize. That is how we love the people, by bringing to them the good news about Jesus and the promises of God and His Word. Our prayer for them, we go and lay hands, we go and help them, we go and tease them, we go and give them some hint how to live a better way. God called us to go and make disciples of all nations. We need to help them, guide them, assist them, and lead them in the right way of life. As they come to the Lord, then we'll make disciples and teach them God's way and God's word. Let us not become weary in doing good to all men, to all people. Therefore, as we have opportunity, as long as you have strength, strength is the opportunity, as long as you have time, as long as you have money, as long as you have extra things that you can share, let us not become weary. Let us do good to all people, and especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We need to be a blessing to those inside and a blessing to those who are outside. To the outside, we evangelize, we bring God's word to them, and to those who are inside, we need to edify one another. We need to do our mission, our responsibility well. We need to admonish, to correct, and to teach, and to disciple those who are in. We need to find the lost coin that is inside the church, inside our families. We need to be a blessing to the church. We need to be a blessing to the people of who are our brothers and sisters in faith. And as we are a blessing to the church, as we are becoming a blessing to the church, as we are doing our assignment and our responsibilities well, as we are not a burden or a source of trouble or a source of disturbance to others, then here we are promoting the church to go forward in more effective time saving and cost saving, and to go forward to reach the lost. I need to behave, you know, the lost shepherd, the shepherd who have one sheep lost. He left the 99 sheep in the open field. They were in order, so he was able to move forward. If the church is in order, it depends on us how we do our responsibilities well. When we do our responsibilities well, the shepherd can go forward, the church can go forward, the leaders of the church can do better. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The more you are giving and contributing, helping and supporting, then the more you are receiving and being blessed. That's why. The message today is for you. As you hear the message, commit yourself to God and to the word of God that you have here now. Tell him, here am I, Lord. I know, God, that you have called me and you have placed a calling in my life, in my heart. Lord, I realize that I'm placed in a church, in a such situation, in that corner, in that seat, in that place, so that I can do my part for you. Lord, thank you for teaching me to love you, teaching me to love others, and teaching me to love myself. Lord, I commit myself, oh God, to do my assignment well. Lord, I tell him, Lord, I am willing to be corrected, to open, to be open to explanation, that people who approach me to show me certain things, I'll be open up to them and open to your word and being willing to change and transform. Lord, here am I, commit my life and ways to live for you, O God. I'm willing to take part in the ministry, in the church that you have blessed me. Lord, here am I, willing to give and to support with all what you gave me from resources in order to be a blessing to others. Oh God, I pray, Lord, my prayer that I want to be a blessing to others from this day onward till you come and take me to heaven. I pray, Father God, for my brothers and sisters, to this brother, this sister, who had committed their ways, oh God, who had committed their life right now to serve you, to be a blessing to others. Lord, strengthen them, give them good health, provide their need, protect them, protect that brother, protect that sister, and raise them a servant of yours. Let them be a blessing. Let your blessing fall multiplied unto them in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, the purpose of this message shall be fulfilled, and you receive the glory and the honor that belong to you. O God, take this message and make it reach those who are in need of it and those who are waiting for it. We thank you, God. We bless you. God, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and amen.